Austin, let's start with you. Why don't you tell us about yourself?
I'm Austin Beach. I'm the founder, or co-founder of Audio Oblivious Productions. We do Winnebago Warrior, The Tale of John Wainaby. We've also done a few standalone horror stories, a two-part fantasy story called Shadow of Lavenhan. We've also done now 2 years in a row, we've collaborated on the 11th Hour Productions project. And we have quite a few more projects coming out this year.
Oh, I'm Scooter Man, and I am the showrunner for two different shows. I work with Anansi Storytime, which is the fairy tale audio drama. We take different classic stories of folklore and fairy tale from different cultures, and we end up taking them and turning them into full cast production. On Legendsmith, what we end up doing is we take...
No, go ahead.
A variety of original stories, plus we do a showcase of other people's audio dramas where we'll kind of like prop it up and take a look under the carriage and analyze it as people that also would work on this with our thoughts for different aspects of it.
So you two are the new hosts of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. What are you hoping to bring to the podcast in the future?
I know that I definitely have a whole lot to learn still. I by no means consider myself a professional or expert. And I'm hoping that while helping others to learn the process of audio drama production, I can also increase my own skills.
I think I've already learned everything that there is, and I'm just here to disperse my knowledge. it's more about... So I came into working on audio dramas not from theater. I came into it because I'm one of those people that once you get an idea into your head, you're going to do everything you can to make it happen. So I've made pretty much every mistake that's possible on a super beginner level, giving out some of the wisdom from that and learning, because there's a bunch of stuff that I know that we're still doing terribly that I'd love to fix. Yeah, the process of just making the show incrementally better and better.
Austin, and what brought you to audio drama?
I've always been a fan of the medium. I used to listen to some old-time radio with my dad when I was a kid. I've always wanted to tell stories. My co-creator, Scott Phillips, and I, for years and years and years, had actually worked on producing a comic book together, and it never saw the light of day, but, you know, we still had that story in particular that we wanted to tell. You know, I came up with the idea of, well, let's try audio drama. Foolishly thought to myself, how hard can it be? You know, we just record some lines and then throw in some sound effects and we're done. Surprisingly, the story that we originally started into audio drama to tell, we have yet to tell. It wasn't Winnebago Warrior. That just kind of came to fruition as we were in the learning process. We're hoping to get that story out in particular.
Do you mind if I ask about that story? What's the story that you're looking to tell?
Currently called Echoes of Darkness. We may change that name, but I'm kind of stuck on it. It involves immortals, superpowers, although it's not a superhero story per se. The idea that mankind originated on Mars.
And Scooter, what brought you to audio drama in particular?
I wanted to have a way of telling these different fairy tales and legends to people in a way that seemed like a feasible medium. And honestly, stories work really well within an audio.
Austin.
And I'm Scooter.
We're your new hosts.
We recorded an interview with our executive producer, Matt Boudreau, and James Oliva that covered more than we bargained for.
We decided since we're going to be working together, we wanted to challenge ourselves by creating a new show.
Not just any show, one that stretches what we're comfortable with, really.
It's going to be quite an experiment. As we try to figure it out, we can all learn together how to make a show better.
So, here's that interview.
I kind of wanted to talk to everybody about today about story pitches. Real quick, I'd like to run through a story pitch. When you approach a story, and especially if you're approaching a producer who is producing your story, you want to have like a 1 to 2 minute kind of elevator pitch. This is going to be more of a brainstorming story session. Go around the table and just talk about any ideas that you had for stories that we might be able to produce as the Audio Drama Production Podcast. like at the end of the season, we might have a full audio drama produced.
I like the idea of like an alternate history kind of thing, not something that would, an alternate explanation for something that happened in history, not something that would, you know, change the timeline to where it wouldn't be today, but just something different that would explain something that has already happened.
I've definitely dealt with alternate timelines before.
Does that make
1918
sense?
1918 was definitely Manfred van Richthofen as cybernetic organism kind of thing. Love playing with alternate timelines. So in terms of story pitches, you were recently talking about a story idea that you had that you might want to pitch.
Yeah, mine stems from a while ago. I had this idea that I was going to try to pitch as a web series, but it just kind of stalled out on its own before it got that far. I had this idea for it's a horror, but a very small cast horror meant to get very much into like the H.P. Lovecraft type stuff with unexplainable creatures from another dimension type stuff. But it's about an agoraphobic whose home becomes a portal to one of these things. And the home itself is becoming very dangerous. And therefore, they're being forced into this sort of dilemma of having to either deal with the issues that they're having with going outside or having to stay in a home that they have always thought as this protective area that is becoming a lot more dangerous and unpredictable.
A story, a modern Greek story that kind of explores some of the fairy tale mythology background. It would be a romantic story between a lumberjack and a dryad. The idea would be this would be the play between the lumberjack and the lumberjack's family and where the dryad stands amongst the spirits of the forest. And I guess you could say kind of a star-crossed lovers story.
Oh, neat. That sounds fun, too. My story pitch is it's kind of an old story. Mm-hmm. It's a story that I already previously worked on. A while ago, I did a series called Dialed In. It was really an experimental show in which we were trying to experiment with different ways of recording remotely. And we did everything on the premise that we were overhearing telephone calls. The kernel of the idea was on an advertisement that I had created for the show. And I've actually got that here that I can play for you guys.
When Dad wandered off, I was so frightened what would happen. When we found him, he had no idea where he was or how he had gotten there. I'm so glad he's got an angel inside.
Angel is a subdermal implant tag used to track via a small GPS transmitter embedded in a chip about the size of a grain of rice. The chip is implanted in the arm and uses residual biokinetic energy to keep an indefinite charge. It requires no maintenance or modifications to the chip itself.
Because walking home alone at night doesn't mean you have to be afraid. I'm glad to have an angel inside.
When your life and the lives of those you love are on the line, isn't it good to know there's an angel inside?
And that's what I'm after. I'm after weird and creepy. I'm after a Black Mirror sort of kind of idea with it, where it's that ad, but in a world gone wrong.
You know, this is the part where we would either talk amongst ourselves as to which ones we felt the most connected to. Obviously, our own are certainly at the high of our list, but if it's not our own, what other one works for us? And then I guess if there's a more common consensus around that, then, you know, maybe that's what we go for.
Austin and Scooter, it's your show, so I really put the ball in your court as to what you want to pursue.
Is there some way we can merge all of them together into some kind of horrible Frankenstein story?
A dryad with an implant.
who's fighting off creatures from another dimension, and they're an agoraphobic. And
the lumberjack's agoraphoric.
Yeah.
Agoraphobic. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an agoraphobic lumberjack. He has the trees delivered to his house so that he can chop
and
them.
And on Austin's side, it takes place in Elizabethan England. So, you know. So we've got revisionist history there.
Elizabethan Canada?
With maybe a tad bit of steampunk.
If you can figure out how to write it, we can make it.
You know, hey, if you want to do SkyCloud cities.
Hey, this is the brainstorming. Like that, we haven't even talked budget yet.
It's very important.
Budget's what kills everything. Budget's when you realize, I can't write this many actors because I can't pay this many actors.
Unless they all want to take a dollar. There's a part two to this conversation where it's just like we come back and Austin Skier say, we've decided. This is what we want to produce.
I almost wish that we could just kind of improv some of the ideal scenes from that kind of thing.
Oh, I'm terrible at improv.
I don't know how much of an improv
I can act, But really, I have to have a script in front of me.
I'm usually all right with improvising.
I can totally bring in some sound effects into the Zencaster, and I can improv sound
like,
for you.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Like, you know,
once we get this all together, we do a Twitch version of a live show.
That'd be down. Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. Or we could even angle that as like, I don't know if you do it publicly or you could do it for a Patreon reward system that's thing. I don't know. Cool idea. Those types of things are really good because they give like a certain amount of personability to a goal or I should say a reward.
If you do the live show for the Patreon crew and then do an edited version that we put out later for everybody else.
Yeah. So it's not live for them, but it's live for Patreon or something like that. Yeah. I did have another concept that I held back on that I had been thinking about aloud in another Discord channel. And I don't know how family friendly we have to keep these things, but it's an entire AD built around mostly sound. And the concept would be, you know, those houses that where not a house, but like, you know, like a recording house where they do a lot of the post recording for films and stuff like that. The only dialogue you would really get are the two booth operators. And mostly everything else would be non-dialogue specific sounds that they're adding to the film that they're doing now. The concept was really built around that these are ADR actors adding in sounds for adult films, adult film sound effects and oohs and ahs, and trying to tell a story that paint the story of the scene through non-verbal dialogue. And then the booth operators and the sipping of the coffee, and like, just, it would be a really abstract sort of idea. I don't know if that's crazy or not.
So I have two things just in response to that, and I'm going to share this. One is, have you heard the audio drama? It's from a while ago from a guy named Andrew Sachs. It's called Revenge, and it's an audio drama that's completely lacking in dialogue.
Oh, that's cool. No, I didn't know it.
It's well done.
There's a link.
The other one that draws to mind is a YouTube video called Porn Foley Artist. So I definitely have to share that one with you. The Porn Foley Artist, just because the last part that you said, and that's funny as hell. But Steve Schneider has been working it. I think it went up to, he was able to get up to 15 minutes with no dialogue, telling a story of a girl who's trapped in a warehouse and is trying to escape from her killer.
That's great. I like that.
What if we told the story of a dog from the perspective of the dog? Reference. So the dog doesn't actually understand the dialogue. People kind of sound like they're from Peanuts. So the dog is just kind of trying to navigate everything with without understanding actually what's going on. So we don't use any actual dialogue.
No, I think it could be fun because I think you actually have some great ability to kind of travel with the dog in and out of sound. So if the dog's leaving the room,
that could be crazy.
Cujo is completely written from the dog's perspective. So Stephen King's Cujo is kind of that.
You worry about like what kind of story could you tell? You can tell any story because the dog is just you're in and out of your transition character. He's somebody who's going to go to another room and take you to the next bit that you need to know as the audience. It could be like a family drama. It could be Christmas and there's some sort of comical dysfunction going on. And the dog could be a part of the problem. The dog could be like stealing food from the table or, you know, like.
What English sounds like to non-English speakers.
Or sitting on the bed.
And it's an entire sketch that's based on, and it sounded kind of like where the
dog. Oh, is that the one where the couple are having a conversation?
And like, yeah,
I've seen that. Yes,
it's
I love
a great
one.
Reference for the kind of idea that you're talking about what do people sound like from a dog's perspective. And
I like that too. I like the idea of like it not making sense to the dog because we're getting the dog's perspective.
Actually, doing an entire audio drama in gibberish might be completely viable.
That's
like a really interesting idea. I kind of like that.
Did you hear about the 1970s thing about that, where there was the music video that they did entirely in gibberish?
Yeah, that's the Italian one. It's the Italian singer, and he's singing in a what's meant to be like a gibberish English. It's really catchy and it's really cool. And every now and then, like you have to remind yourself that he's not actually saying words because they're just like eyes, you know. And he'll like say things that have some sort of semblance of like he's saying eyes, I think, right? Eyes, but he's just, you know, mouthing sounds.
He actually does do words and small phrases. They're so isolated that it's maddening.
Right. And they're not contextually relevant to anything either. It's just like kind of an English word that he's saying, but it's not like connective to a real lyric. Well, I think it leaves us open to fail spectacularly, which also could be fun. There's teachable moments in that as well that we can use to discuss and spur conversation afterwards.
It sounds like a great sound design challenge too, so.
What if this is a story that's a Lovecraftian story kind of tied into what you're talking about? It's the dogs, from the dog's perspective.
Beautiful. I love
horrible
that.
Horrible Lovecraftian goes on. And so, like, 80% of the story is normal.
Yeah,
and then at the end,
let's play with that.
The people either are driven mad by some kind of Lovecraftian thing, and the dog is just trying to figure out what in the hell's going on. Small, like, I don't know how much Lovecraft you guys have read, but Brown Jenkins. It's the mouse with a person's face.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of like also amping up tension because the dog maybe has, because dogs tend to be tuned in to, you know, different atmosphere changes, things like that. So, you know, if they sense something's wrong, they'll gravitate towards that and certainly investigate. And then also through sound, we can show that the dog is discovering something very ominous or troubling, and then maybe trying to communicate that to its owner or cohabitant would definitely amp up tension.
If you're hearing the story from the perspective of the dog and you're in the dog's head, then does the dog have a voice?
No, you know, internal dog head sounds every now and then, like from, like, as if like it's, yeah, you hear your own voice sometimes in your own head if you plug your ears.
The dog can only,
I think that would be interesting to hear the dog
sounds.
From that perspective, like some panting every now and then, or some like different whining or movement, stuff like that. But I think it'd be much cooler if the dog can't actually narrate nor say anything. Because this way we can't cheat on our end when we're like, you know, like, how do we communicate that? No, we got to still figure it out either by sound or by some other element. It can't be thrown on the dog to go, okay, well, I'll narrate it real quick.
Obviously, if you've ever owned a dog, then you know this is true, that dogs can at least understand certain words. Like, they could be hearing something from their owner that, you
which
know,
is,
95%
which is kind
of
how that non-English
gibberish,
speaker
you hear
video
a word here and there
is,
so that, you know,
like,
the dog recognizes
like
it.
Like, every fifth word was, like, something that you could actually understand as a real word, but then everything that surrounded it was complete gibberish. Food
right.
and eat and, you know, things that a dog would understand the word walk.
Yeah, that could be really cool, actually. If we're doing from the dog's perspective, it would be great if we had like 70 words that they know that are keywords, like stop and go or pick up.
Even if the people in the background aren't necessarily talking to the dog, the dog would still understand it.
In the same context.
Well, it sounds like we have a good story pitch to take to our brainstorming episode for the next episode, and we really hope that you'll follow us on our journey. So, as you heard, it's going to be tricky.
I know we can pull it off.
For more information, go to audiodramaproduction.com.
For more information on Matthew Boudreaux, go to oralstage.com.
And if you think you need a little more James Oliva in your life, go to wtfrequency.com.
For Nazi Storytime, go to www.spiderstorytime.com. And for Legendsmith, go to www.legendsmithproductions.com.
For all things Audio Oblivious, go to audiobliviousproductions.com.
We wanted to give a thank you for the hosts that came before us. Matthew McClain, Robert Cudmore, Sarah Golding, and Fiona Thrale.
Without you guys, this wouldn't be possible and we wouldn't be here.
We are so glad to see you here.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.